صفيها صفيها بالنوايا صفيها وندحطها أحلى الناس وندحطها أحلى الناس والفرحة بتلاقيها صفيها صفيها وندحطها أحلى الناس وندحطها أحلى الناس.
All praise is due to Allah the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. This is undeniably your favourite station, the Muslim Community Radio, and you are tuned in to Community Connect, the show that always keeps you connected on 92.1 FM.
أحلى الناس والفرحة بتلاقيها قد أتى بالهدى قد جاء به هو لدعوتنا.
Joining you in the studio of the Muslim Community Radio 92.1 FM is Nadia and Ola. Today we specifically decided to talk about a very timely topic.
Yes, it's one of those topics that is usually met with a yay by a lot of parents, and sometimes it's met with, you know, some sweat by parents as well, because it's not an easy time of the year. I mean, as families, I think we all look forward to the times that we can spend together as a family and out of our usual routines of, you know, and I think mothers can especially relate to this, not having to wake up super early in the morning to do the school drop-off and packing lunches in the evening and, you know, washing the school clothes and ironing the school clothes and all that. But the school holidays seem to bring with them a whole new set of challenges.
Exactly. And this period of time, Ola, really signals the start of the battle of boredom. And if you're a working parent, predominantly if you are a working mother, it can mark the start of a very stressful time. So this period of time is certainly approached with guilt, with fear and stress, not knowing how to go about it as a working parent. And for many parents, it really involves trying to juggle time at work and time with children.
And this is predominantly something that mothers, working mothers, experience in the 21st century, where, you know, we live in an era where there's a societal expectation that mothers are out there working and doing their part, really forgetting a lot of the times that their role as a mother and the main carer in the family is in fact the biggest job that a woman has and the most important job, I think, that a woman has. But there is still this expectation that she needs to go out there and get a job and contribute to society and all those things, which, you know, in a sense, we're almost being forced into on many fronts. The biggest reason is probably financial reasons in today's day and age, where the cost of living is horrendous.
Exactly.
So are we finding ourselves, for more reasons than one, kind of having to dissect our time and allocate segments of our time to all these different tasks that all hold equal importance for us? But, and it's a constant juggle. It is more so of a juggle during the school holidays because there are those unaccounted hours that you are supposedly having to take care of your kids when they're at home and you're not at home. Yep. And how do you do it?
There's a lot to factor in. Gone are the days when one parent stays at home and looks after the children in the school holidays. It sounds so different from our childhood. Nowadays, we are seeing a high increase of working mothers who truly just don't know how to juggle their time, how to divide their time between work and children. It's a very exhausting dilemma, a time embraced by mixed emotions, including guilt and stress, not knowing what to do, how to go about it, how to make a balance between work commitments and children. So today we will be addressing this particular topic, and we would certainly love to hear from any working parent, not only specifically mothers, but fathers as well.
That's
fathers
right. We realize, I mean, we have been talking in the context of working mothers, but that's only because predominantly they're the ones who are usually taking on the main caring role of the family and the children in addition to working. So they have this dual role. But we also recognize, of course, that there are many fathers out there who may be single parents who take on this role as well. And so we give them recognition as well, and we would love to know how they cope with that challenge. I would really love to know, actually, how single parent families deal with this dilemma, because we're talking about this issue being something major in a family where you have mum and dad who are working.
Yep.
And there are, to an extent, I think the challenge may be overcome in some form or another when you have two parents. May require a bit of shifting. And
what I find quite inspiring is that many single parents out there try to make things work. They try to come to an agreement, and I find that they know how to structure their lives appropriately to suit their children. So we definitely would love to hear from single parents. You know, it's hard enough trying to juggle work and children as working parents. What about those single parents as well? Let us know by calling 97072747, and you have the option of texting us via WhatsApp on 0410 830 930.
عبد بحماكم مستجير هاجاه للحي وجد فيك يا طه البشير يا رسول الله عبد بحماكم مستجير هاجاه للحي وجد فيك يا طه البشير مشتاق بصدر اللهب من نار الجوى عجب مشتاق بصدر اللهب
Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to Community Connect via 92.1 FM with Ola and Nadia. Look, school holidays are a very important time for children because they offer a break from the routine and demands of school. They also give families a chance to spend time together doing things they enjoy. But if you're a working parent and I guess not in the teaching industry, how do you manage? That's the topic we will be focusing on today, balancing kids and work during the school holidays.
So This issue is a bit of a catch-22 in the 21st century, Nadia, because we really, if you really look at all those components that are involved in this dilemma, you will come to understand why it is such an issue. You see, full-time and part-time working parents get 4 weeks of annual leave per 12 months.
Yep.
And kids get approximately 12 weeks of school holidays per 12 months. So do the math, and there's a four-week gap there.
There is a four-week gap.
That can't be accounted for, really, and that's given that both parents are taking time off work. Even if you have, you know, one parent taking their 4 weeks off and another parent taking their 4 weeks off, that's 8 weeks in total. There's still another 4 weeks.
There's a month gap.
Where basically your kids are going to be raising themselves at home.
Exactly. And not to mention, Ola, if both parents use all their leave to look after the kids, they never get to go on a holiday together. So they're not really spending that time as a family. And that's just for families with two parents.
That's right. And look, there may be some ways in which parents may choose to work around this issue, especially if one of the parents is a shift worker. This may be a little bit more flexible for them because it ensures that one parent is going to be around at some point. But on the other hand, that's going to cause all sorts of other problems for the couple themselves. Although there's somebody to look after the kids, you're never going to see each other.
Exactly.
So there are numerous solutions, but each solution kind of comes with its own set of challenges. And so I really think in this day and age, we need to evaluate the whole situation and see what really needs to be done. And many, throughout my reading on this issue, and I've realized, you know, there are so many people impacted by this issue, and yet it seems to be almost like the elephant in the room where it's a known problem, but nobody really speaks about it.
No doubt.
Because we all choose to kind of acknowledge it inwardly and then get on with it, because that's
exactly,
we don't have any other choice.
And in terms of the solutions to this problem, Ola, there's no one size fits all. For every situation, there is a specific challenge as well as a solution for that challenge. So
that's
the
right.
solution that you might give me might not be applicable to my life and
that's
my
right.
situation.
The dynamics of every family is different, and there is a no one size fits all solution. We all have to tweak the available solutions to suit our own individual needs. And that's where the challenge is, because we live in a society where, you know, a lot of the things that we engage in are a bit outdated.
Yeah.
They are a bit outdated. We're still working in a system. We still have an employment system that really assumes that mothers have all the time in the world. You know, there's no harm in us going to do an 8-hour job and then going home to do another 8-hour shift at home. But look, it doesn't work that way. We need to open our eyes to the reality of the situation, that the world we live in today is not the world that our parents lived in, you know, a decade or two ago.
Exactly.
Where mothers once had that choice of being able to stay home.
Yep.
And giving that option of staying home to raise the kids and invest all their time and effort on raising the kids and not having to worry about anything else. Mothers today are expected to do numerous things at once. They're supposed to be these super multitaskers who can get on with it and not really complain about anything. And I just find that a little bit insulting.
Exactly.
To the women living in our day and age, because at the end of the day, we are human. We're not made out of iron, and we do have a certain level of physical ability and mental ability. And I think, look, this all catches up with us. And if you think about it, Nadia, when we look at statistics regarding mental illness and things like even physical ailments, most of the time it's women who are affected. You know, I have to say, I'm not being the expert here and I'm not claiming to be, but somehow I think, you know, the load, the extra load that we're having to carry in the 21st century has a lot to do with that, because at the end of the day, something's got to give. We don't have an endless amount of energy or, you know, concentration that we have at our disposal all the time.
That's right. And there's no denying that more mums than ever are in the workforce, and that's something we didn't see many, many years ago. So it's incredibly stressful for women trying to balance work and family life. And it's easy to see from research that the childcare responsibility falls on working mums especially.
Absolutely.
They have to lift the heavy burden. And we know the fact is that it's predominantly mothers who have to carry the burden of the great school holiday juggling act, scrambling to fill their children's days while holding onto their jobs. So I guess being a working mother especially can lead to feelings of guilt, feelings of stress, because you're having to divide your attention between work and family.
But so there's also that pressure to perform well at each one of those tasks, Nadia.
Yeah, you there are certain expectations.
There are certain expectations that as a mother, you're going to deliver X, Y, Z. And at work, you're the employee who's supposed to deliver X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And you need to get 10 out of 10 on all fronts. And that just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. So there's a big, massive, heavy load on women, especially in today's society, because we know two people isn't enough to suffice the financial burden that we are living in today. So we address the topic pertaining to the amount of leave that part-time or full-time employees receive versus the amount of weeks that children take off. So the school holidays often don't match up with the amount of annual leave that most full-time working parents receive, and there are many options available for parents to consider. There is a lot to factor in, the first of which is many parents just don't want to keep their kids at home. No matter how old they are, they just can't seem to fathom the idea of leaving their children at home alone. So that's an option.
Yeah.
But it's not really an option, if that makes sense. Yeah.
It is an option for some parents. And look, like we said earlier, every situation is different. What works for one person may not necessarily work for the other. Look, I've been a working mother since my son was very young. He was maybe a year and a half old or 2 years old when I started doing work. And so although it was a part-time position, I still found it quite difficult transitioning from a situation where
yep.
you had all that time to invest on your child and being there all the time with your child to now I'm not at home all the time. What do I do about this? Look, I've been fortunate to have a job where it does offer that kind of flexibility, and I was able to bring my son into work with me on many days where there was nobody to look after him.
Yep. That's another option, taking your child with you to work.
But look, it doesn't really work. There are times when it may work and it may function for a certain period of time.
Yep.
But given the job that you do, it's all dependent on the job, the kind of job that you do.
The flexibility. I mean, for many people, they prefer to start their own business. But again, if they're taking time off their own business or their work, then that means they're not going to be earning any money.
That's right. The replacement value as well of having to get somebody to fill in where they're not available needs to be taken into account, which is where, you know, you find that, like we said earlier, there are these solutions, but not every solution is going to work for everybody. Depending on the age of your child as well, there are different challenges presented. Little children, I know mothers struggle to leave newborn babies or, you know, infants for any great length of time because they do have certain needs that, you know, need to be taken care of.
Especially if they're breastfed
infants. Babies. So that's one thing to consider. But then you've got, you know, your preschool age children, and I think they're the easiest because most preschools run even during the school holidays.
Exactly.
And they only take minimal time off. So if you do have a child in preschool, you're probably the luckiest among the group of working parents.
So,
but that also comes at a cost, don't
exactly,
forget.
Exactly.
So there is, again, that negative side to it.
That's right. And there is the option, which I think among our community members is the most prominent, which is keeping them with a family member or a relative. Now, for many people, I guess it might feel like you're placing a burden on them, especially if it's 5 days a week.
That's right.
Thinking, okay, what if they have other commitments? What if I'm being a burden on my relatives and my family members.
And look, that's how I really felt about it.
Of course.
With my child growing up, yeah. There were very, very few occasions where I would leave him with extended family or the close family members for that reason that, you know, I realise other people have lives. They've got their own children to look after. I don't need to add another, you know, another child to the mix.
Especially if it's more than one child.
If it is more than one child, your problem gets a little harder.
And again, being a stay-at-home parent, especially in today's day and age, is not an option for many families because, again, going back to that financial burden, it's not an option for me to stay at home for several months.
And look, there have been people who have suggested taking the middle ground, which is opting for a job or seeking, you know, requesting from your employer where possible that you may be able to work from home, which is a solution in a sense, but it also presents a new set of challenges in
exactly.
that being at home with, you know, one child or possibly more offers plenty of distraction.
Exactly. Even if you're at home, Ola, I mean, how much work can you get done if you're surrounded by so many children, especially if they're young? Many children require being fed, taken to the toilet, change of nappies, all that requires time and effort, which means time away from your work.
Not to mention the incessant I'm bored. They expect, oh, mum's at home, that means she's available for us, not knowing that, yes, mum is at home, but her mind is really elsewhere. Yeah. And she's expected to get this work done because she has a deadline to meet. But, they, you know, there's no consideration for that. The young kids, they really don't understand what it means. And it's just so, so hard. And so at this point in time, I still have not been able to pinpoint a single functional solution.
Exactly.
To this problem. I really haven't.
I mean, the solutions might be continuous. I mean, every solution has a predicament, has a certain obstacle. Another option is holiday programs, but then you have to factor in the cost, having to organize drop-offs and pickups, as well as different working hours during the school holidays to actually fit in with the vacation care programs. So again, we have to factor in the financial burden, the cost involved, and then you have to schedule picking up your children and dropping them off.
Look, there are some free programs in the community, but usually there are limited spaces within those free programs. And unless you get in super, super early, and unless you're one of those really, really organized parents who can plan ahead of time and, you know, get things all set out before the approach of the school holidays, then you don't really stand a chance. And then you move on to the next best option, which is, you know, paid programs. Mm. And they can get costly. If
of
you've
course.
Got more than one child, if you're having to pay, you know, anywhere between $50 to $100 a day,
There's no point in you working, really.
You may as well just take unpaid leave and sit at home with your kids.
Exactly.
So, you know,
and then with childcare, we mentioned before that they do take in children, but up to a certain age. So if you have teenagers at home who you prefer not to leave at home alone.
Teenagers are one of the most difficult. It is actually the most challenging to have a teenager because around 12 or 13, they're too old for most of the programs anyway.
Yeah.
Even if they still have a place in those programs, they don't usually want to attend because their interests aren't catered for a lot of the times.
And if they're staying at grandma or grandpa's house, I mean, they might not even have internet for
That's
them to
right.
be entertained.
And even if they do, like, but if they're on their own and they're just, they don't have any children of their own age.
Yeah.
And then remember, these kids have been coexisting with their school friends for, you know, about 7 hours a day, five days a week for the entire year. And now, you know, if there's only one teenager among smaller children, they're going to feel very uninspired and very bored. And
exactly.
this is where, you know, again, you feel like, I could send you to your grandparents' house, but what are you going to do there?
What are you going to do?
And you're going to start whinging, and then you worry about the grandparents not knowing what to do with them. And
It just doesn't end, does it?
It just doesn't.
This is why.
And I know this because I've been through all the phases, Nadia.
You're talking through experience. Not only did you once exist as a teenager, but you have a teenager yourself, and you're talking from experience. This is a solution, keeping them with their grandparents, because our grandparents, they're not working. So they're available and they're spending time at home. But then again, are we going to keep a teenager with his or her grandparents?
And not just that, Nadia, but I look at it from another perspective in that, okay, these grandparents have already raised their own generation of kids and they've married them off and now hoping for, you know, some me time. And
that's
now,
right.
You know, here come the grandkids.
That's
and
right.
And here's a new generation that we need to raise.
I mean, I look at my own mother and mashallah, she does so much for us. And she does even more for my child, for her grandchildren. And I tell her, Mum, you know, you thought that you were going to be relaxed after your children get married. But no, it just doesn't stop for the mother.
That's the thing.
It's continuous.
But that's something that's associated with this era that we live in, that, you know, previous generations didn't experience this to the extent that we do, only because back in the day when grandparents used to retire, they actually used to retire.
Exactly.
That's it. And now it's this ongoing, this flow-on effect where there's this push for mothers to get back into the workforce, it's affecting everything else.
Exactly. And it's not because mothers want to go into the workforce. It's because they have to go into the workforce, seeing as though this current era is very tough on families financially.
And look, I don't think government policies have been very merciful to mothers at all. There is this expectation that as soon as your child can walk and talk, that you are back earning an income.
Yep.
Not really taking into consideration the costs at which this comes. And look, interestingly enough, this is probably a little off topic, but I read an article a while back that was talking about working mothers and how it may not be worthwhile for many mothers to actually work full time. Because of the additional childcare costs, because they realise that if a working mother were to increase her working days from 3 to 4 or 5, the extra amount of money she would be paying in terms of childcare and other things would be almost not worth her working the extra time.
That's exactly right. And that's why a large amount of women choose not to work, because they're factoring in the idea that that extra money that they are receiving from their work is going towards childcare. It's a continuous cycle.
Yes, but we also have a system that does not give incentive for working mothers to do what they're expected to do. We don't have a system that caters properly for the needs of working mothers. Yes, we tell them, get back into the workforce, but then you're left on your own. Do it by yourself. You need to find a way to make it work. And, you know, whatever you have to do kind of thing. We don't provide for them and really think about the other aspects of their life that have been impacted by such a choice.
Exactly. And again, their employers could do more to help ease this burden for working mothers. I mean, maybe more flexible working arrangements. You know, we mentioned working from home is an option. For many people, it's actually a struggle because they don't get this luxury of having flexible working arrangements.
That's right. And it's all dependent on the job, because there are some jobs that really cannot be flexible. I'll give you an example.
Yep.
There are many aspects of our job that are flexible, but there are some things that are just set in stone. When we have a deadline to meet, or there's, you know, we need to be on air at a certain time, that's not flexible. We can't work around that.
No.
That's just there. And we need to do it. You know, there are other aspects of the job where you may be able to tweak, but, you know, we got to realize that not every job is going to offer that flexibility. And, you know, while there are some jobs that allow parents, like the teaching profession, for example, where most of the time parents are off at the same time that their kids are, But, you know, we can't expect every person in society to become a teacher or every woman in society to become a teacher just so she can get the perks of getting holidays off with her children. You know, we need people in other professions.
To fill in the gaps. We need to fill in other professions.
You know, we need the doctors, we need the lawyers, we need the architects, we need the engineers, we need all these professions in our society. And so if we need these things, we've got to...
That's true. And that's not to mention, I mean, okay, being a teacher comes with many positives, but let's not forget that many teachers have to take work home with them. And then again, they're working from home. And how do you work at home with a bunch of kids who are nagging, nagging and nagging?
That's right.
Constantly yelling that they are bored or they want to be entertained. It's very difficult for them.
You have to become, if anything that I've learned over the years, Nadia, through my own experiences, is that you have to become very, very inventive in your approaches and in the way that you deal with this issue, because at every stage of your child's life, they have different expectations, they have different needs, they go through these phases where they're very attached to you at some point, then at some points they all they want to do is be with their friends and to do things, and you want to be able to be there for them enough that you can't be, and then you want to be able to give them a little bit of freedom when they're a bit older and you still can't.
But I feel like the more you give them, the more they want. Of course, I was a teenager once upon a time, not a teenager anymore. But there was a time when I was a teenager and I remember constantly nagging to my mum, telling her, "Mom, I'm bored. It's the school holidays. Everyone's going out and I'm stuck at home." She'd take me out. Okay. The next day, back to square one.
Back to square one. That's right. And look, that's very hard for a teenager of a parent or two parents who work full time to really grasp that, you know, why are my needs not being taken into account? It's all about you. It's all about your work. And they still start to feel like they're competing for your attention or that they are less of a priority to you than your job demands. And it's very, very difficult feeling to fathom and to come to terms with, because you do feel like you're failing as a parent because, you know, we do have this idea, and it is the truth, that our families and our children are our first and foremost priority. But then
Our actions don't really
reflect that, because we do have a sense of responsibility to our jobs and our work and our employers as well that we need to deliver.
But it consumes so much of our time, energy, effort. I mean, I feel like for a lot of working parents, they seem to invest more effort in their actual job than in raising their children. And that's where the gap is. I mean, they put so much focus on their particular jobs that they forget to raise their children properly. And what ends up happening is their children just go off the rails and they grow up thinking they can do whatever they want because there's no one.
But that's where the catch 22 comes in that, you know, we are, as I said earlier, expected to do equally well on all fronts of our life, given 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
Given, you know,
we need time for ourselves,
a limited
as well.
Amount of energy.
Yeah.
And look, I find it probably more mentally draining than physically draining a lot of the times to try and make ends meet and to make things work together and to fit things into a schedule and feel good about all the decisions that you're making. Because a lot of the times you make a decision, but your heart's not really in it. I've had to do that many times where I've had to make a decision because, well, I'm out of solutions. I'm sorry. This is my last resort, but I'm going to have to do it. And look, you know, my heart's totally not in it, but this is what's going to work.
That's right. We are very eager to hear from working parents out there about how you manage this particular issue. How do you manage going to work and balancing the school holidays with your children? Do you have any specific holiday care ideas, or do you send them off to their grandparents' house? Do you take extra leave from work so you can be at home with them? Tell us about it by texting 0410 830 930. That's 0410 830 930, and we are also taking calls on 9707 2747. More on balancing kids and work during the school holidays, a catch-22 in the 21st century. We'll be back to talk more about this issue on Community Connect via 92.1 FM. Stay tuned. Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to Community Connect via 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. And both Ula and I are addressing the double juggle, how working parents manage school holidays and their jobs. And we're very interested to hear from other families about how they balance work and kids during the school holidays. If you're a working parent, how are you managing the school holiday and work juggle?
That's right. It's a very current and relatable dilemma that many parents can relate to, especially working mothers. So we'd like to get your thoughts on how you deal with this issue and what kind of changes you would like to see in our systems, in our policies that better cater for the needs of working mothers and working parents in the 21st century.
Exactly. It's a topic that's occurring quite rapidly, and it's a very recurring topic. But as we mentioned earlier, not a lot is being mentioned about it. No one is really talking about it. No one's really talking about the concerns that they are having. So without really addressing these concerns, no solution.
Because look, Nadia, I think the reason why it isn't spoken about very widely, I mean, you may with your close friends sit down and have a little bit of a whinge at times about this, but it's not widely discussed only because we tend to probably feel like we're failing as parents if we admit that we are not coping, or that we are not able to meet the demands of our work, and we're not able to meet that balance and things like that. So that's not something we want to portray about ourselves. And so we pretend that everything is A-OK and we soldier on. But in truth, it's not all A-OK. And a lot of the times under the facade, the happy, you know, cool, calm, collected kind of facade that we all portray, we're really struggling, and it's starting to take a mental toll on us and a physical toll on us. And a lot of the times these tolls expand and start to impact other aspects of our life, like our health, like our relationships, like our interactions with other people.
That's right.
Like even our performance on the job.
Exactly.
If you're somebody who's, you know, made some arrangements for your children that you're not quite happy with, and you're at work having to do a job that you've been assigned, your mind is not really going to be with the job. Your heart's not really with the job. Your heart and your mind are going to be with your kids, who you have no idea how they're coping.
No doubt, no doubt. And trying to balance a family and work is, for many people, one of the main reasons why they choose not to have kids. So many people are really denying themselves from having any children because they understand the scope of the problem. They understand how much of an exhausting dilemma it can be.
Nadia, having kids is kind of can be considered almost a 21st century luxury because it comes with so many strings attached that a lot of people just can't deal with, you know, what is expected of that role and whether or not they will be able to meet the demands of that role.
Exactly. It is a very tiring struggle for so many people. And we would love to hear from any working mother or father out there who perhaps wants to address their struggle, the struggles that they are having, or if there's anyone out there who has any interesting comment or remarks about the solution that has worked well for their family. We mentioned there are quite a number of solutions, but they do come with a number of obstacles.
Most of them do come with obstacles, and they're really not practical for the 21st century. They're really not. They're outdated policies and measures that have, you know, were once adopted many decades ago and probably worked for families many decades ago, but they're no longer functional, and we need to break out of that cycle if we really want people to be productive in society and to go out there into the workforce and do their bit and participate and help the economy grow. Then we need to be providing for them in a way that they can sustain that.
No doubt. Solutions need to be put in place, and things need to be made much simpler for working parents, predominantly working mothers, who feel like there's just so much to juggle in their life, having to balance work commitments, raising children, looking after the household, and a host of other responsibilities. I mean, yes, it is a struggle for fathers, but women, no doubt, predominantly hold the heaviest burden today's society.
And look, let's be honest here. Wherever the sacrifices are to be made, it is often on behalf of the mother. Even if both parents are working full-time or both parents are working part-time, whatever the arrangement is, even if they have equal parts and equal roles, when it comes to kind of sacrifice, it's always the onus is on the mother. That, you know, if a child is sick, mother stays home. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything happens, mother stays home. Mums need to make the arrangements for after-hours care. Mums need to, you know, make the arrangements for the long holidays.
And Ola, if you are extremely busy throughout the year at work, how do you have time to make a plan? Because I know for many mothers or working parents, the solution is to plan ahead. And for many people, there's just no time to actually plan anything because your time is so embedded and consumed with work, home duties and the like. So there's just no time for anything.
No time to plan anything in advance. It's very time consuming. It's very draining and sometimes very frustrating when you're having to make inquiries and look into all your options and weigh up the pros and cons of each of your options. And you know, it just gets very, very draining, and a lot of people can't be bothered for that. That's for starters. And so, yeah, we get back to that square one of, you know, what do you do? What do you do? Where is that golden solution that will fix all the problems? But there is none. There's not a single solution that I can see at this point in time that actually offers any great degree of comfort for working parents or working mothers.
What works for you might not work for me, but to a certain extent it might work. But really, as we mentioned, it comes with a number of other obstacles that come in the way. We mentioned the solution of having your child stay with a family member or a relative, but then your mind is constantly floated with guilt.
Well, look, and Nadia, what if you do have no extended family living close by?
That's right.
We do see a lot of those situations where families with children are living in all different parts of the country. You know, you may have one part of the country in Queensland, one part of the country in New South Wales, different states, or even if they're in the same state, they may be hours away from each other. And so that doesn't really offer you any assistance. When, you know, if you're going to have to drive, you know, an hour and a half either way just to drop off and pick up your kids every day.
What's the point?
What's the point? Look, at the end of all these options, I think the one solution that many parents may feel the most comfortable with in terms of being able to spend time with their children and not having to feel like they're not giving their job their all is to eventually make that conscious choice of, I'm going to take unpaid leave.
Yep, that's
right. I'm going to take unpaid leave. But again, that takes you back to another problem, that unpaid leave means you are now having to there's an expenditure during, and school holidays are expensive.
They are expensive.
Every parent knows this, okay? Let's not kid ourselves. School holidays are very expensive.
It does come with a host of expenses.
So if you're on these school holidays and you're not making an income, unless you've had, you've got a nest egg somewhere, you've got some savings that you can dip into during the school holidays, that's not really even a feasible option for you.
That's one of the reasons why a lot of working mothers predominantly choose to work part-time as opposed to working full-time. But working part-time is hard enough as it is. Having to juggle all these things that we mentioned previously is enough to really push that woman.
Again, it all depends. I mean, you may be working part-time, but if you have a very demanding job, that could be the equivalent of working a full-time job. We need to take all these things into account. But a lot of times you find like, oh, yeah, you only work part-time, but do you know what the job requires? Do you know how mentally drained I am after working those part-time hours?
Exactly. And, you know, we mentioned that teaching comes with a host of opportunities and benefits, but then again, who wants to come home to children after dealing with children for so many hours?
That's right. So, look, all in all, I think if we were to really look at it, mothers and full-time working mothers in particular have the shorter end of the stick on all fronts, really. No matter which way you flip this, it seems like working full-time mothers, they can't catch a break. They can't catch a break. No. The 21st century simply is not made for you. I don't know.
But look, I truly commend their efforts. And coming to the close of today's episode, really, you deserve recognition. You deserve our utmost appreciation for the effort that you go through throughout your daily life, trying to juggle home life, children, and work responsibilities. So honestly, we do appreciate everything you do. And even after your children get married, we still appreciate what you do, because it really doesn't stop for you, does it?
No, it doesn't. And look, on those days where you feel like you're failing as a parent or failing as an employee or failing on all fronts maybe, look, at the end of the day, we're human. We can give it our best shot, but we can't always make things perfect. Life isn't perfect. We are, as humans, not perfect. And so we need to cut each other some slack sometimes and cut ourselves some slack. So sit back and try not to be too rough on yourself. Do the best that you can, but know that sometimes that perfect solution just really isn't out there.
That's right, Ola. Thank you very much for joining me on this superb journey of Community Connect as we address the topic pertaining to balancing kids and work during the school holidays. Until the next time we meet, please take care.